wonder if you have ever found yourself in a situation where you want to give up. Between a rock and a hard place, a place that's uncomfortable, a place where you just don't feel like you have energy to go on. It's a common feeling. I myself feel it all the time, and that's why I love hearing stories about people who never get up. People who train for years and years to do things like run marathons and climb mountains, and climb to the highest top of the earth or cross the Atlantic by themselves. I'm not that self-disciplined. So some of my examples have to do with thinking I'm not going to make it out of being stuck in a kayak on rock is something as fierce as the Buck Creek, where I have to paddle and paddle to get out of place. But whether it is the fact that we are a mile away from a summit or 5 minutes from our fitness goals or just being tired in the morning and not able to finish our Bible study. I suppose all of us have been in a place where we've wanted to give up. Anyone who's faced anxiety or depression or grief or addiction or a really severe health concern or maybe even a common cold has felt like it might be easier just to give up. So here's a very inspirational speech about never giving up. This is kind of hard to understand, but sometimes you try so hard at something. Sometimes you can be so prepared and still fail. And every time you fail, it's painful, it causes sadness, and especially disappointment. I've often said one's character is not judged after they celebrate a victory, but by what they do when their back is against the wall. So no matter how great the setback, how severe the failure, you never give up. You never give up, you pick yourself up, you brush yourself off, you push forward, you adapt, you move on, you become, you get up and move and overcome. This is what I believe. So tonight I speak to those who stand proudly with me. You have not given up on me and I will not give up on you. These are famous words from pro wrestler John Cena. Now I am by no means a wrestling fan, but I have to admit that when I heard the speech in the background of my living room a few years ago, I was sort of mesmerized by it. I mean, you have to admit, that's a damn good inspirational speech. But do you know what is better than John Cena's prompted, rehearsed, prepared, thoughtful theatrics? The Bible! And today, Jeremiah's speech is just this. Don't give up. Now, I've often been asked in this space why our first reading sometimes does not match the gospel or the epistle for the day. And the answer is that we read the lectionary in a sort of order. So if you're here over 3 years, you hear a good portion of the stories in the Bible. And if you're here week after week, you're keeping up with the readings and the email, you start to see that we're reading it in kind of an order which tells a story. And when we read the psalm, it's always a response to whatever our Hebrew lesson was for the day. So we as a people sing a song or pray the psalm to continually reinforce and pray for what we've just heard in the Hebrew Bible or the Old Testament. Now, if you've been following the past couple of weeks, there's been a major narrative. And the narrative of the psalm and the first reading has been how the people of Judah became exiled. We've heard Jeremiah's warnings. He's been prophetic. He's probably sounded like he's needlessly nagging to the people of Jerusalem. But he's telling them if they don't clean up their act, if they don't wash themselves, if they don't become closer to God, that they're going to be removed from their homes. And over the past 2 weeks, we've really seen this happen. We've watched the Israelites become exiled, kicked out of their home by the Babylonians. And last week, we read in Lamentations, which are words also attributed to Jeremiah, about Jerusalem, how Jerusalem had been destroyed, and how the people of Judah found themselves like a widow, weeping, wandering with no resting place, grieving, suffering, and desolate. The people had been removed from everything that they knew how to be true. Their identity as a people of God was being challenged. Their understanding of themselves as a nation and property owners had been taken away. The laws in which they were tied to, all in the Bible, were no longer in effect. The place where they went to worship God, the place where the Ark of the Covenant had been, the one place where they knew they could feel the presence of God, was destroyed. And they found themselves wondering how to worship, wondering how to offer prayers because they were no longer able to go to the temple to find the presence of God. And last week, our choir and our musicians led us in a wonderful memory of this through the psalm. And we sang together that we sat down by the waters of Babylon and wept. We sang for that community which was removed from their home, from their land, from their identity, from their community. We sang for a community that had given up, who hung their harps in a tree, who sat down and wept because they couldn't figure out how to sing God's song. Our reading for today from our first lesson follows this. It's the never give up speech, and it's so much more powerful than John Cena's speech. Thus says the Lord God to those who have been moved from Jerusalem to Babylon against your will, to those weeping by the waters, to the exiles. You are to plant houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat what they produce. You are to take wives. Your sons and daughters are to be married. You are to multiply. You are to increase. You are to seek your welfare and the welfare of the city. Never give up, God says. Pick yourselves up, brush off, push forward, adapt, become, overcome. Be the people I know you can be. It's a speech filled with possibilities of new growth, of the Israelites being able to possess enough of God's strength not to give up, but to get up, to hope, to grow, to thrive. Now, while none of us have experienced the extreme exile of the Israelites, the tormenting agony of being forcefully removed from our homes or lands or places of worship, I imagine all of us have felt exiled. Maybe it's the forced sense of having to move on from a relationship which has been broken beyond our control, or the sudden loss of someone important to us, or the feeling of the breakdown of the institutional church, which is breaking, or the loss of a place of worship or a community of people that we love, or the loss of a priest in whom you placed your hope. We've all been exiled. We have all sat by the waters of Babylon and wept for the loss of a God, saying, God, how can we worship you when everything we know and love has changed? How can we learn to praise you again when life looks different? So if you find yourself in this place of exile today, take a note and hear these words from Jeremiah. Exile is a gift. It's a gift which allows new possibilities and new hope. After the people of Judah got done weeping by the waters of Babylon, they went. They went into town and they planted and they set roots for the future. They married, they multiplied, many of them became wealthy, and they found new ways to worship, which didn't revolve around the temple in Jerusalem. They found that people and community and prayer and discernment were more central than thinking that God just resided in one place. They became able to see God in the midst of all circumstances and not just in one place. They made the Torah, the first five books of our Bible today. They translated them, they formed them, they put them into book form. And priests that had just been focused on the sacrificial life of the temple learned how to empower communities by preaching and teaching the spoken word. People thrived, they multiplied, they flourished, they reorganized, and they certainly learned how to sing God's song in a new land. This is the tremendous gift of exile, that God promises newness of life in situations where we feel like giving up. That when we go and weep by the waters of Babylon, God eventually says, go and prepare for your future. In the midst of slavery and deplorable conditions, God says, get up, go, prepare for your future. In the midst of a dark grave, God says, get up, go, prepare for your future. In the midst of our doubt and grief, God says, prepare. This is the gift of exile, that God destroys our personal temple to remind us that God's presence is not found in one thing, but in God's things. Exile teaches us that God is not in one relationship or one building or one feeling or one person or one goal, but that God's presence is in all, even the foreign lands where we thought we would never go. Exile teaches us there's nowhere we can go that God is not with us. There is nowhere where we can flee from the presence of God. Exile teaches us to use our gifts and our graces and all the things that God has given us to pray differently and in new ways, to sing songs in new lands, to plant, to rebuild. The gift of exile is that God gives us hope of a future in the midst of hopelessness. Exile expands our faith. So if you find yourself today in the midst of exile, weeping by the waters of Babylon, perhaps from illness or not feeling well, or if you find yourself far off or quarantined or sequestered from humanity like the lepers, hear these words. Get up and go. Your faith has made you well. Get up and go. Get up. Don't give up. Or if you find yourself in some sort of prison like Paul, stuffed away in exile, hear these words. I am chained, but the word of God is not chained. If we die with him, we also live with him. Get up. Go. Don't give up. And even if you find yourself tucked away in the darkest corner, a corner so dark that it looks like death is all that is there, that everything has died, we know the word of God says, get up, arise, be resurrected, go. Don't give up. Adapt, overcome, plant, multiply, prosper, thrive. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy way and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy shall ever attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with his love doth befriend thee.